Okay, well, once again, good morning. This morning we are continuing on in our series. We're calling it Rethinking Church, Exploring God's Heart for the Church. And as we mentioned the last couple of weeks, during this series, we want to discover what it really means to be the church. Right? We want to go beyond just the many man-made traditions and practices and beliefs that I think are common in most churches today. And we want to really discover, as it says, God's heart, God's purpose, God's plan for the body of Christ. So if you were here last week, we started with a very simple question. We asked the question, what is church? Right? I mean, when you see the word church, right? When we read about church in the Bible, this word church, what does it mean? Well, last week we saw that this word church, it doesn't mean, or it's not a building, and it's not a worship service. And church is not, you know, a religious organization, you know, SIBC and all the life and activity of SIBC. It's not that. Right? The Bible doesn't use church in any of those ways. Now, we often use church in our English and Japanese language. We use church in that way, but the Bible doesn't. Right? According to the New Testament, whenever we see the word church, this is what the word church means. The church is simply the people of God. The church is the people of God. So when the New Testament uses the word church, it's referring to those who believe in Jesus. Those who are followers of Jesus. In fact, the word church, which actually was actually used to describe Christians even before the word Christian. Right? I think it was at Acts chapter 11, we read that church at Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians there. Before that, they weren't called Christians, they were just called the church. The church was the people of God. It's not an organization. It's not a meeting. It's not a building, not a worship service. It's the people of God. So basically, you know, it's incorrect to say things like, oh, where do you go to church? You ever done that to someone? You meet a new Christian. Oh, you're a Christian. So am I. Where do you go to church? Right? Or something like, oh, we got to hurry. We'll be late for church. Can't say that. Or how about, oh, thank you for coming to church today. I say that all the time, right? But friends, that's not how the Bible uses the word church. It's not a place, it's not a service, it's the people. So this morning, right now, we're the church. Not because we're meeting in this building, not because we're having a church service. Right now, we're the church because we are the people of God. And anytime we gather together, that is the church. So friends, as we go through this series on, you know, rethinking church, this is what we need to remember is that we are the church, you and I. We are the people of God. And so, as we go through this series, and as we explore what it means, or explore God's heart for the church, this is very significant for you and I, because we're actually exploring God's heart for us. Right? We're exploring God's heart for you and me, and God's heart for who He wants us to be, and how He wants us to gather together as a church family. So, for that reason, I'm excited about this series. I'm excited just to see what it means to be the people of God, to be the church. Well, this morning we want to talk about the nature of the church. Right, I want to just take a few moments to really think, what does it mean for you and I to be the people of God? What does it mean to be the church? And today I want to look at four characteristics of the church. And these things are kind of general, but I think as we begin to understand these things, we'll begin to understand the kind of people that God wants us to be. And the metaphor that I want to use this morning as we start our discussion, it's the metaphor of DNA. Right? You guys know DNA, right? In the human body, every one of our cells contains DNA. And in fact, scientists tell us that DNA looks like these little twisted ladders, right? Inside of our bodies. Never mind. Right? The DNA looks like these twisted ladders inside of our body. And in fact, they're not so much twisted, but our DNA is actually folded up inside of each one of our cells. And it's amazing, friends, how much DNA you and I have inside of our bodies. If we were to unfold all of the DNA inside of our cells and just kind of unfold it and lay it end to end, it would actually go from here to the moon 6,000 times. That's how much DNA we have in our bodies. You unfold it all from here to the moon 6,000 times. Now, that's not the whole world. That's just you. That's just me. Right? But we all have this DNA inside of us. We have lots of DNA. But friends, DNA is sometimes called the blueprint of life. Or sometimes it's called the building blocks of life. You see, because our DNA affects our appearance on the outside. Right? The reason why some of you have hair and some of us don't have hair, that's DNA. Right? It determines why my nose is a different shape than your nose. Right? That's DNA. Right? So DNA, it determines often how we look on the outside, and it also affects how our bodies work on the inside. But friends, our DNA determines much of who we are. Not all of who we are, but much of who we are. And so, in kind of the same way, I want to use this metaphor of DNA, and I want to talk about spiritual DNA. Now, of course, there is no such thing as spiritual DNA, but remember, this is metaphor. But I want to talk about the spiritual DNA of the church. The four things that I mentioned today, I think these are God's heart for the church. These four things are God's blueprint of the church. These things show God's heart, God's plan, God's purpose for His people, for us. Right, the things we're going to talk about today, this is the building blocks that define the character and the nature of the church. And as I said, the church is the people of God, right? So the things we talk about this morning, this is our spiritual DNA. This is who God created us to be. And if you have your yellow outlines, you can go ahead and fill these in as we go along today. Okay, so let's get started. Number one is this. As the people of God, friends, we are a relational people. That's what it means to be the church. As the church, as the people of God, we are a relational people. And specifically, friends, we were created. God created us to have relationship both with Him, right? Relationship with God the Father. We were created to have relationship with other people. Now, if you've been around SIBC for a while, you know this is like my favorite topic to talk about, right? Talking about relationship with God and relationship with others. So I will try really, really hard just to kind of keep this part of the message short, because as the series goes on, we'll have plenty of opportunity to talk about relationship. But all throughout Scripture, right, we see that God desires to walk in relationship with us. And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? God created Adam and Eve, and God lived in relationship. He walked in friendship with Adam and Eve. And I believe that was God's desire for all of mankind. That's how God intended it to be for all of human history. But then sin entered the world, right? Sin entered the world. We turned away from God, and it ruined it. It kind of damaged that relationship that God desired to have with us. But you know what? God didn't give up on having a relationship with us, because all throughout the Old Testament we see where God, He made these attempts, many attempts, to draw mankind to Himself. And sometimes, on some occasions, you know, there would be groups of people or a certain leader who would respond to that and draw near to God, but, you know, for the most part, in the stubbornness of their hearts and our hearts, right, they refused to come to God. And so finally, what did God do? He sent Jesus. And according to Matthew chapter 1, Jesus' name was what? Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. You see, that's what God wants to do. God wants to be with us. That was His intention in the Adam garden, in the Adam and Eve. He wanted to be with them. Sin separated them from Him, but God so much wants relationship with us. He sent Jesus, God with us. You see, and that's His heart. And then through the cross of Jesus, right, the Bible says that God reconciled Himself to us. Take a look at this. Colossians 1:22. But now God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through His death. Now friends, what does it mean to be reconciled with someone? What is reconciliation? To be reconciled means that a broken relationship is restored, right? You can't have reconciliation until first there's some sort of brokenness, until first there's some sort of anger or fighting or something between people. Reconciliation means that relationship has been restored. And that's what God did through Jesus. Why? Because God so longs to have relationship with you and I. He so longs to be reconciled with you and I. And now because of Jesus, friends, relationship with God is possible. Right now we can indeed be a relational people. This is part of our DNA. We were created for relationship with God. Right? But also God also created us to be in relationship with one another. Right? We can go back to Genesis again and remember how the story goes. God creates Adam. And then what did God say? God said it wasn't good for man to be alone. God himself, he knew that it wasn't just good to live life by yourself. He looked at Adam and he said, I know Adam needs someone to have relationship with. And so he created Eve. You see, friends, God knows that we need other people, that we need to be in relationship with one another. And I think that's why God designed the church. Right? God designs us to be the people of God together. And that's what I said last week. The great thing about being the people of God is we don't have to do it by ourselves. God's plan is that we would come together. We would be the people of God together, that we would live in relationship together. You know, in the Bible, there's a number of different metaphors for the church. There's like six or seven metaphors, and we're going to look at these as the series goes on. But what are the two most common metaphors in the Bible for the church? One is family, right? God the Father, and we're all children of God and brothers and sisters. Family. The other is body. We're the body of Christ. Isn't it interesting how the two most common metaphors for the church have to do with relationship? People living in relationship with one another, right? Brothers and sisters, body parts working together. You see, friends, that just shows God's desire for the church, for the people of God, is that we would be in relationship with one another. And, you know, this is something I've been thinking a lot about recently because, you know, every Sunday morning we gather here together for worship service. And yet, for the 90 minutes that we sit here, we have like zero opportunities to build relationships with one another, right? I mean, you're all kind of sitting there listening to me and you're listening to me talk, but you're not like talking back. And there's just the way we do worship service here is just there's no opportunity to build relationships with one another. Now, of course, we have opportunity to build relationship with God, right? We worship God and we take time to see God and we study the Word, and that's good. But I'm wondering if when we come together as the people of God, maybe our time together should be both about relationship with God and relationship with one another. Maybe we need to rethink how we have worship service so that we can truly be a relational people, not just this way, but also we can build relationship this way when we gather together. And some people think, well, that's what fellowship time is for. You know, you can fellowship together after church and stuff. And yeah, that's true. But I think as we gather together, I think part of what God wants us to be is a relational people. This should be a time where we're building relationship with each other, not just ignoring the people we're sitting next to for 90 minutes. So anyway, that's something I've been thinking about because, well, friends, this is part of our DNA. Right? We've been created to be relational people. Relationship with God, relationship with one another. I think that's who God wants us to be. This is part of what it means to be the church. Okay, well, I think that's pretty simple. We've talked about that a number of times. So let's continue on, all right? Number two is this. Besides being a relational people, we are a spiritual people. Right? As the people of God, as the church, we are a spiritual people. Now, gosh, there's so much I could say about this, and we just see this all over the New Testament in so many ways. But let me give you one example. 1 Peter 2:5. Right, this is Peter talking to, well, the people of God. That's us. Peter says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Friends, in this verse, Peter says that we are the people of God, right? And that we, as the people of God, we're being built into a spiritual house. Right? He says we're becoming a spiritual people, those holy priests. We're becoming a spiritual people. For what purpose? So that we can give spiritual sacrifices to God. I don't know. It looks to me like Peter thinks that there's really something, there should be something spiritual about us, huh? That as the people of God, we are to be a spiritual people. And we don't just do spiritual things. We don't just kind of, you know, read our Bible and go to church and do spiritual things. It's we're being built into a spiritual house. We're becoming a spiritual priesthood. We are spiritual people. Our lives are characterized by a hunger and a desire and a longing for spiritual things. Now, as you know, the world around us is consumed with physical things, right? They're chasing after the things of the world, the things the world holds dear. And yet, friends, as the people of God, we are called to be different. Last week we mentioned that the Greek word for church literally means the called out ones. Right? And that's what Christians are. They're the ones who have been called out. They've been called out of the world. God's called us to live differently than the world. And that's really what our Kingdom Culture series was all about, right? Those 39 weeks we spent talking about the kingdom. As the people of God, we have different values, different priorities. We're not worldly. We're spiritual. We see this also. Colossians chapter 3. Paul writes this, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on," what? "Things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." You see, friends, as Christians, we're called to set our minds on something different. We're to set our mind on spiritual things. So in life, we're motivated by a hunger for spiritual things. Right? We desire to know Jesus and to seek Jesus and to follow Jesus in every area of our lives. And it's not just something we do on Sundays, but it's something we do all the time. It's just it's not an act that we put on. It's who we are. Right? In every area of our lives, we want to offer ourselves as a spiritual offering up to the Lord. Friends, and in this way, we, the people of God, we are a spiritual people. It's part of our DNA. This is who God wants us to be. Now, having said that, let me say there is absolutely no way that you and I could ever be spiritual by our own strength, by our own human wisdom, by our own ability. But lucky for us, we don't have to. Right, lucky for us, this whole thing about setting your mind on things above and your heart on things above, you know, we don't have to do that on our own. Right? And I say that because the Bible says that if you are a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Take a look here, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Don't you know the Holy Spirit lives in you? Don't you know the Holy Spirit lives in you? Friends, the reason that we are a spiritual people is because the Spirit of God lives in us. Right? And you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Bible says the Holy Spirit, He leads us, and He teaches us, and He strengthens us, and He empowers us, and He points us to Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit lives in us to help us to be the spiritual people that God wants us to be. You see, but this is who we are. This is what it means to be the church. This is what it means to be the people of God. We are a spiritual people. We have a hunger and a desire and a longing for spiritual things. That's part of our DNA. Okay, well, let's continue to number three. Number three, as the people of God, this is my favorite one. We are a growing people. We are a growing people. Friends, the church is not some lifeless institution. No, the church, it's this living organism, right? I mean, you're all live. You're all sitting out there. I can see you. Some of you are, well, most of you are breathing, and we're living, right? We're a living organism. And like all living things, the church then should grow, right? All living things grow. Now, in our Kingdom Culture series, we saw that Jesus told many, many parables about growth, right? And we saw how Jesus wants us to grow. But we also see this. We also see this in verses like 1 Peter 2. Peter writes this. He says, "Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk." See, there's that spiritual, we're spiritual beings, right? Spiritual milk, right? "So that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Here we see that in the Christian life, we start out like this newborn baby, right? Newborn, Mana's in back there, right? Like Mana-chan, right? We're this newborn baby, and we're start that way. But once we're born, we begin to grow. You see, our goal is to grow. Because that's what all living things do, right? All living things grow, and God wants us to be a growing people. And that's not only true of individual Christians, I think that's also true of churches. As a church family, as a church body, as a church community, God wants SIBC, God wants us to grow. We actually see examples of this in the book of Acts. This is a description here of the church in Jerusalem. And look what it says, Acts 5:14. It says, "Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord Jesus and were added to their number. Talking about the church in Jerusalem, what's happening in the church? The church is growing, isn't it? More and more people are coming into the church. More and more people are added to their number, and the church is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The church was growing. We see another example in Acts chapter 16. These are some of the churches that Paul helped to get started in Asia. And it says this: so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. You see, the churches were getting bigger and bigger. The churches were growing. Their numbers were increasing. Why? Because that's what living things do. Living things grow. So friends, this is God's heart for His people. God wants us to be a growing people. It's true for individuals. It's true for the church. He wants us to grow. But, and this is, I think, the fun part. Not only does God want us to grow, friends, God also wants us to reproduce. See, growing is not enough. Growing is just like the first half of life. The second half of life is reproducing, right? And let me just show you examples, because it's true with people, right? You got a little baby. Isn't that a cute little baby? Got a little baby. It's born. And for the first, 18, 20 years of life, it just, you know, its focus is just on growing, and it gets taller and taller and taller, and it begins to grow. But there's a certain point where the growing stops, right? Or at least, I mean, we always keep growing. After we stop growing up, we start growing out, right? But we all keep growing. But there's a certain point where the growing kind of stops. And the focus of life is no longer growing. The focus of life is on reproducing. And the one person has, you know, the adult has more babies. And it's not just that the baby just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and that's it. It grows and grows and grows and then it reproduces. And then the new babies, they're going to grow and grow and grow and reproduce. And that's the way all of life is like. It's even true in the plant world, right? Imagine, here we have some apple seeds. Some seeds from just a single apple. And you put those seeds in the ground and they begin to grow. And for the first, I don't know how long it takes for an apple tree to grow up. 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, I don't know. But for the first years, all it does is grow. And it just grows and it grows and it grows and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then eventually, after it grows, what does the apple tree do? It begins to reproduce. It makes more apples, right? It started with one apple, but the apple grew up and made more apples. It bore fruit. And friends, that's what Jesus asks of us. Right? That's what Jesus tells us to do. In John 15, Jesus says that if we stay connected to Him, if we remain in the vine, He said, and you will grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. No. He said, if we stay connected to Him, we will bear much fruit. Jesus, He wants us to grow, but more than that, He wants us to reproduce. He wants us to bear fruit. I think another example of this, Matthew 28. This is Jesus talking to His disciples, and what does He tell His disciples to do? He says, go and make more disciples of all nations. He didn't just tell His disciples, okay guys, I'm going away now, I want you for the rest of your life just to grow. Just grow and become the biggest, bestest Christian you can, and that's enough. No! He didn't want them to grow, He wanted them to reproduce. He says, you guys are my disciples, I want you to go and make more disciples. And I want those disciples to make more disciples, and those disciples to make more disciples. You see, God wants us to grow, but He also wants us to reproduce. And friends, this is true of individuals. Right? I think in our own life, God wants us to grow, He wants us to reproduce. But I think it's also true of churches. Right? As a church family, God wants us to not only grow, He wants us to reproduce. We see an example of this in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, it's the story of the church in Antioch. And they're praying one day, and then they decide to send out, Paul and Barnabas, right? Paul and Barnabas, the church sent them out for what purpose? To start more churches. We call that church planting. You see, but it wasn't just the Antioch church, we're just going to become bigger, 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 bigger. No. They weren't just about growing, they wanted to reproduce. So they sent Paul and Barnabas out to start more churches. And those churches actually started more churches. And it was about reproducing. Recently, Recently, I've been reading this book by this man named Neil Cole. And about 10 years ago or so, he had a desire to start churches that reproduced themselves. Right? He didn't just want growing churches, he wanted reproducing churches. So in 1999, he started a simple house church. It was just a church that met in someone's home. And the church began to grow. Now, usually when a church starts like in a house like that and it becomes too big for the house, the next step is usually you try to find a room to rent, right? You find a bigger space so you can fit more people in your space and so you can continue to grow. Well, that's not what his thinking was, right? He didn't want the church to get bigger and bigger. He wanted the church to reproduce. So when that first church, when it became too big for the house, when the living room got too crowded, you know what they did? They take a few people from the church and they sent them out to start a new church in a new home. Right? And so instead of just one church, now there was two churches. From the original church, a new church was born. The church reproduced itself. See how that works? Well, friends, this became the model for how these new churches functioned. And most houses in America, they can have about 12, 15 people in a living room comfortably. So whenever a church got to about 12 or 15 people, the church then would send some of those people out to start a new church in a new house. And friends, in this way, right, the churches, they didn't just grow bigger and bigger, but the churches grew and then reproduced. They would grow some more and then reproduce. It was growing, reproducing. They would grow, start a new church. Those churches would grow, they'd start new churches. And friends, after 1 year, just 1 year, right, they already had 10 churches. From that one church, it grew and it reproduced, and they grew and reproduced, and in 1 year, there were 10 churches, right? 10 groups of Christians gathering together in 10 different homes. Now, some people are thinking, those aren't real churches. They didn't have buildings, they didn't have programs, they didn't have paid pastors, but that's not what the church is, right? The church isn't an organization. Or it's not a building, it's not a worship, it's people. So there were 10 groups of people gathering together in Jesus' name. 10 churches. So that was the first year. Well, in the second year, those 10 churches started 18 new churches. So basically, each one of those churches started two new churches, reproduced itself twice. So at the end of 2 years, there were now 28 churches. And during the third year, those 28 churches started 52 more churches. So at the end of 3 years, there were 80 churches. At the end of 6 years, you know how many churches there were after just 6 years? Almost 800 churches in 32 states in America and 23 nations around the world. The church would grow, and they'd send people out. It would grow a little bit more, and they'd send people out. It was growing, reproducing. Friends, and I have to believe that's God's heart for us. You see, yes, we are to be a growing people. But growing just isn't about getting bigger. Growing is also about reproducing. It's about bearing fruit. And friends, I think this is part of our DNA. Now, friends, honestly, this point number three here, this is a little bit of a concern for me. Because here at SIBC, as a church, how do I say this? Well, it's pretty obvious. We're not really growing, are we? Now, I think as individuals, I know some of you are growing. Just as I interact with you and as I talk to you, I know that as individuals, there is growth, and that's great. We want that. But as a church, we really haven't been growing so much. And we're not really reproducing much either, right? And so in this way, I wonder, maybe, you know, are we not living up to our DNA? Are we not being the people that God somehow wants us to be? Right? And for this reason, I think this series is really good for us. I think this is an important thing for us to rethink what it means to be the church. Right? Because my heart, and I'm sure your heart, is we want to become a growing, reproducing people. I think that's God's heart for us and for all His people. Okay, let's continue on number four. Number four, We are a missional people. I don't know if the word missional is really an English word, but it fits. So we are a missional people. Friends, as the people of God, God has a plan and a purpose for us. As the church, we have a mission to fulfill. And we see this expressed in the Bible in so many different ways. It's hard to just pick a couple of examples, but one example is in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Jesus says that the reason he came to this earth was to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And we talked about that in our Kingdom Culture series, right? But Jesus came to this world to preach the kingdom. He came for the purpose of introducing people to the king so that they might experience life in the kingdom. See, that was Jesus' mission. And you know what? That's our mission too. Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I have now sent you. Jesus wants us to do what he did. Our mission is to preach the kingdom so that people might get to know the king and experience life in his kingdom. So that's one way to think about our mission. But there's another way. Take a look at Matthew 5:16. Jesus says this. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may, see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Right? Jesus kind of puts it a little different, but it's pretty much the same mission, isn't it? Jesus wants us to go out into the darkness. He wants us to be carriers of kingdom culture into the world around us. So we find those who are lost, we find those who are hurting, we find those who are broken, and when we find them, through our love and through our good deeds, we shine the light of Jesus into their lives. And when we do this, Jesus says that somehow people will praise our Father in heaven. Somehow people will see our good deeds. They'll hear the things that we say, and it will cause them to look to the Father and to turn to Him and to follow Him and give praise to Him. And really, that's kind of our ultimate motivation for what we do, right? Is we want everyone, everything, to give praise and glory to God, right? We see this, 1 Peter chapter 4. What it says here. If anyone speaks, anyone here ever speak? Anyone speak? I speak. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Wow. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that, listen to this, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. You see, friends, that's another way to describe our mission. Our mission is that in all things, God would be praised. That in all things, things in our life, things in our workplace, things in our school, in the people, in the relationships that we have, in all of these things, that would be done to Him be the glory. Right? We want all people to give glory to God. And that's why we preach the kingdom. That's why we shine the light of Jesus. So that in all things, God may be praised. Friends, that's our mission. That's the purpose and the plan that God has for us as the people of God. Now, let's apply this to Japan for a moment, all right? Because honestly, I wonder, as part of the church in Japan, right, we're all part of the church in Japan, how are we doing in fulfilling that mission? Right? You know, I wonder, Are we doing a good job at proclaiming the kingdom, shining the light of Jesus, and bringing glory to God? You know, if you think about the Christian population in Japan, the numbers all vary, right, depending on who you talk to and who you, right? I've often heard it's 0.1% Christian population. Some people might say 1%, some people say 3%. It kind of depends on how you count Christians, right? But that's the Christian population in Japan. Friends, do you know what the Christian population was 5 years ago? It was about the same. 20 years ago, do you know what it was? It was about the same. Go back 50 years ago, do you know what it was? It was about the same. Now, whatever number you use, right? But it hasn't changed much in like 50 years. And I wonder, this causes me to think, you know, maybe as the church, where we're not having the impact on the world like maybe God wants us to have. As the people of God, maybe now is a time where we need to rethink church. Right, obviously, what we've been doing the last 50 years, it's maybe not having the kind of impact we would hope. Right? And again, I'm not being critical here. I'm just trying to, you know, we want to be the church, right? We want to be the people God wants us to be. We want to be a missional people. But if we're going to fulfill that mission, maybe something needs to change. Maybe it's time to rethink church. And that's what this series is about, right? But friends, as the church in Japan, if we're not fulfilling God's mission for the nation, then I wonder if we maybe, how do I say, maybe we haven't really learned how to be the church. And I don't know how that translates well into Japanese, right? The difference between kind of doing church and being the church. But the church is something that we need to be. And yet, you know, I wonder, the Japanese, the kanji for church, what are the two kanji for church? It's like a teaching meeting, isn't it? Teaching meeting. So I don't know in Japanese, when they hear the word church, if they just kind of just think, oh, teaching meeting, it's a place, it's a meeting that we have where we go and learn stuff. I don't know if that's how we think of Japan, but I know that we just talked to Pastor Kuroda yesterday, and he's going, yesterday, Friday, and he's going to somewhere in Tottori Prefecture. He's going next weekend. And he was saying, I'm only there 3 days, and the church planned 5 meetings for me. And it's just 3 days, and he has 5 meetings, and it's about meetings. And I wonder maybe if we need to rethink church. It's not about how many meetings we have, how many programs we have, how many Bible studies we go to, how many outreach events we have. Maybe what we really need is we need to learn to be the people of God. We need to learn to be the people of God out into the darkness, because Jesus doesn't say, hey, invite the darkness to come to church. He sends us out into the darkness to be a light. Friends, and I think that's our mission. Right? We are to be a missional people. It's part of our DNA. We don't just gather together on Sunday mornings for the purpose of having a good time and making ourselves feel good. I mean, this what we're doing right here, right now, it's not about us. We have a greater mission. We, the church, we exist for a purpose greater than ourselves. Our mission is to reveal God to the world around us, both through our words and through our deeds. We are to shine the light of Jesus into the darkness around us. And friends, that's God's heart for us. As the church, as the people of God, we are a missional people. And I don't know about you, but that challenges me greatly. Okay. So here we go. These are just the 5 things I wanted to share with you this morning, friends. I think this is a simple description of the nature of the church. As the people of God, this is our spiritual DNA, right? We are to be a relational people, right? God wants us to walk in relationship with Him, relationship with one another, right? We're also to be a spiritual people. With the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, right? We want to be different from the world around us. Our heart is to seek Jesus and to follow Jesus in every area of our lives. We want to be a spiritual people. Right? We also want to be a growing people. Both as individuals and as a church family, we want to grow, but it's not just growing, we want to reproduce. We want to grow, and then we want to bear fruit with the lives that God's given to us. Right, and finally, we are to be a missional people. As the people of God, we are to shine the light of Jesus into the lives of the people around us, those people living in darkness, so that all people would give praise and glory to God. And friends, this, I believe, is God's heart for the church. This is God's heart for you and me. So as I close, let me ask you this. How are you doing in these 4 areas? How's your relationship with God? Are you spending time with Him? Are you taking time to be with Him and talk to Him and listen to Him? How's your relationship with other Christians? Are you spending time with other Christians as well? Not just on Sunday, but you know, during the week, are you making that effort to connect and hook up with other Christians that you might have connection with during the week? Or how's your spiritual life? Is your life consumed with work and hobbies and TV and the things of this world? Or are you living a spiritual life? Are you taking time to set your heart and your mind on things above? More than just on Sunday morning, do you take time for prayer and for worship and to read your Bible? Are you actively asking the Holy Spirit to lead you and to empower you in your daily life? Are you growing? Are you growing in faith? Are you growing in your knowledge of the truth? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus? More than that, are you reproducing? Are you making new disciples? Are you helping others to grow? Are you producing fruit in your life? And finally, do you live with a sense of purpose and mission? Are you living for something greater than yourself? Do you go through life looking for opportunities to proclaim Jesus? To shine His light into the darkness? Are you going through life kind of doing your own thing, or is it your desire to bring glory to God in all that you do? Now, friends, I ask these questions not to condemn you or make you feel guilty. Some of you have this really like sad look on your face, and I hope it's because you're thinking hard, not because you're mad at me, right? But it's not to make you feel guilty, but friends, I want us to really consider what it means to be the church. It's easy to do church. It's easy just to come here and just do a worship service. It's easy to do that. But that's not what it means to be the church. Church is not some place we go to. It's not something we do. It's something we are. We are the people of God. And friends, this is who God wants us to be. And I think as we go through this series called Rethinking Church, if we don't have a heart for this, if there isn't a desire inside of each one of us to be the people of God, to be the people God wants us to be, I pretty much guarantee you everything we talk about in this series will be meaningless. Because everything we talk about, it all comes down to just, it's what's in our hearts. Because you're the church and I'm the church. And this is who God wants us to be. We are the people of God. This is our DNA. This is who God created us to be. So we're going to take a moment now to come before the Lord in prayer. You know how we do this. We just like to take a few minutes here at SIBC just to be quiet before the Lord. This is your chance to talk to God, your chance to listen to God. If some of those questions I asked, maybe you just need to talk about some of those things to the Lord. But we just want to give you just a few minutes to be still and quiet to do that. And then once the singing starts, you can feel free to just continue praying, or you can join with us in worship. Anytime during the next three songs, communion is available over here on the side. If you would just like to make your way up, you can just go and serve yourself, take the bread, dip it into the juice, and just remember Jesus in that way. Remember, He wants relationship with you. That's what the meal is all about. Reconciliation is found there in His body and His blood that He shed on the cross. But we just want to encourage you, this is your time to draw near to Jesus. So let me open this time with a word of prayer. Jesus, we do thank You that You have called us to be Your church. And church is not some place that we go to. It's not something we do on Sundays. But Lord, it's being the people You want us to be. And Father, I just pray that for each and every one of us here this morning, that You would help us just to consider, are we living up, I guess, in a sense, to the DNA that You have placed in us? Are we indeed being a relational people and a spiritual people and a growing people and a missional people? Jesus, we thank You for the Holy Spirit, that He lives inside of us, that He's here to lead us and to guide us and to help us to grow. As we take this time now, we ask that You would give us ears to hear what Your Spirit might want to say to us. Lord, teach us how to draw near to You. Sometimes that's so very hard for us. We're so used to having so many other things occupying our thoughts and our attention. Teach us how to come before You in stillness and know indeed that You are God.